As we go through the Bible, we're going to meet a lot of people. And God has designed it that way so that there would be people that you would know in the Bible, so that when you read the Bible, you would know these people. That's why when you can get to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, God who in sundry times and in divers manners and time past spake to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son. If you are a child of God, if you are a child of God, and if you are one of Abraham's seed, you might look at that Hebrews 11 a little differently and realize these are your fathers as well. As we've been moving through the book of Genesis, I decided to move and start calling what I'm teaching now by a different name. I'm going to start calling this the Patriarchal Series. And we are now dealing with the journeys in the life of Abraham. We've been dealing with Abram since the end of chapter 11 and chapter 12. On Friday, we looked at what happened when he went down to Egypt. Hopefully you all remember that there was famine in the land of Canaan, and that he went to Egypt to sojourn for a while. And hopefully you remember that God sent plagues on Pharaoh because of Sarah and Abram, and that they got Abram out of that land because of the plagues that were on them, and that he rebuked Abraham for what he did. Now I want you to understand that was a journey in the life of Abram, although I didn't call it that then, it still was a journey. But as we move on, I want us to focus in on two things. This is the one in the lives of the patriarchs, and this is journeys in the life of Abraham. Now, if it doesn't matter to you, then you're going to have a problem when you see statements made like this in the Bible: the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If you're not fully cognizant of the God of Abraham and how he operated with Abraham, if you're not fully cognizant of how he dealt with Abraham, you may miss what's going on. You may not even see it. You may just think these are words, like I used to hear people pray in some of the churches. Now to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And people get to go, oh, yes. But what does that mean? Who is he? Is the God of Abraham impressed because you can in your throat? In the journey to the life of Abraham today in chapter 13, we're going to talk about explicitly how God established Abraham by, should put there, his faithfulness to him. Now, if you look at this chapter and read it, you may not see that. But I'm going to do my best to show that I didn't take a title that's out of place and stretch it. Well, I got my work cut out for me. I've given enough what they call preamble. I'm ready to get into the text of the word. I know if I go somewhere, I keep waiting on the people to, when we going to get into the Bible. Hopefully we've gotten to the place that that's how we feel. Tim, it's time to get to the Bible. Verse number 1, chapter 13 says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. We cracked the first scripture. Yeah, you know how you get to have a hard job to do? Now, this is not hard for me. I love it. But you know how you have a hard job to do? You got to get started before you can get into it. Now, Drew, you read the first verse. I've read it. Now, let's let you read it.
And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south.
I want you to understand that the passage here is a journey in the life of Abraham. The man comes up out of Egypt. This is not going to be the first time that the children of Israel come up out of Egypt. Not the first, but the last. I got that backwards. Did you catch that? Abraham, all of his descendants were in Egypt. And he came up out of the land of Egypt with substance. He came up out of the land of Egypt when God had rebuked or plagued someone that would have had power over him. And God did not want Pharaoh nor the Egyptian to have power over his man, Abraham. Now, when we talk about the God of Abraham, if you don't grasp that concept, that Abraham was able to come out of a place with substance, with his wife, and although the man didn't get to keep Abram's wife, Abram still got to keep whatever substance was given to him, and he brought everything out with him. I like that. That makes me feel good. I'm going to make one application for us, and then I'm going to deal with the passage. Sometimes if you make too many applications as you go, you miss the passage. When we come up out of sin, when we come up out of the flesh, when we come and be dedicated to God in his establishing us, we ought to come up with some kind of substance. It may not be cattle, it may not be houses, it may not be servants, but we ought to come out with some fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about something that you may have heard many times quoted. I'm talking about coming up with real love, the kind of love that hurts whenever you want to help somebody and you can't. The kind that puts up with a person's asininity whenever you're trying to help that person. Joy. Some of you have more pain and more conditions than I have. And it can make you the most miserable, ungodly, wretched piece of work that ever walked the planet. But the Lord is watching. And he sees when you hold on. He sees the faithfulness. And he sees how in the midst you are still able to enjoy what he has for you. Peace. Peace with God. Peace inside your soul. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you expect peace out of this wicked and ungodly world, you're not living a godly life, or you ignorant in your walk with God. I hate to say long-suffering, but I want to be biblical. Long-suffering, putting up with people, being patient in it and walking with God. You want to hear more about the fruits of the Spirit? Go to when we talk Galatians chapter 5. It'll be on the podcast if it's not there on www.podbean.com. No, it's seekingthetruth.podbean.com. Get your mind right, Tim. I'm thinking of the website www.seekingthetruthministry.com, but the Podbean is seekingthetruth.podbean.com. Abraham went up out of Egypt. He's still called Abram. Got his wife. Gary, did you see that? That might not be significant to anybody, but in that culture, for this man to have let his wife go as a sister to that man, Pharaoh, to the Egyptian, and he comes out with his wife and his stuff and Lot, nothing hostage. When we come out of the world, when we come out of the flesh to God, we need to bring all of us out. We need to try to bring our families out and leave no hooks. Or let no anchor be stuck in you from the ungodly world. Take me to verse 2, Dre. Because I can see a lot of beat in verse 1. It's enough in there to choke a horse. Read on.
And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold.
This is one scripture that I hate with all of my might to come out of the mouth of somebody that's teaching lies. I wish they had never read the scripture.
We want the riches of Abraham. The riches of Abraham was rich. God wants all of us to be rich.
And they take this scripture me tell you something. When Abraham left Ur, when Abraham went down to Egypt, he had substance. So what if he had more? Do you understand this man has been tried? Do you understand this man has almost lost his wife? Do you understand this man was scared and allowed this man to take his wife? Didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know if he'd ever get her back. Or if he did, she would be soiled and stained. Had to trust God to deliver him. Anyway, you say you didn't trust him when he took him there. You don't know what all he had been instructed or not. No, he didn't make the wisest decision, but we're looking backwards. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it said that he sinned. Then again, you can disagree with me on that, but you cannot disagree with the fact that God has established this man in Egypt as someone not to play with. God has established him in Egypt as the one not to play with, and that he is not one of us. And he's not someone to be despised. Not in the sense of you despise him because he's nothing. You despise him because you don't like what he had got going on in his life. You despise him because of his God. And Josephus said he taught those people many arts and sciences. Josephus said he taught them arithmetic. Josephus said he taught them, because I read it. Because somebody said it in some book I was reading. I said, let me see if that's true. Took me about 10 minutes to find it. I want to see if you're telling me the truth when you give me little tidbits like that. But the man came out with substance. He was very rich in cattle. He was rich in silver and gold. It's assumed by some he got some of that silver and gold while he was there. I wouldn't doubt it. Looked like the second time God brought Abraham out, talking about collectively as a family, he came out with garments, silver and gold, so much so that the children of Israel in the 32nd chapter of Exodus made a golden calf. Read to me verse number 3, Dre. This is going to be good.
And he went on his journeys from the south.
Do you see where I got that journeys in the life of Abraham? Fits, doesn't it? He journeyed and went on to the south.
Even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning.
You're going back to where you were. Back to where you were. And that may be where some of the people get that Abram messed up because he went back to where he was. I did check that to see if it told him to dwell there in Canaan. I didn't see that, but I saw that he went there. And that, you know, we know that that was the land that God was going to give him. It's kind of hard if you've read Genesis enough to not go back and forth in your mind and put one thing before another and you get your chronology mixed up. But I'm just saying that when we look at Abram being the father of the faithful, it's implicitly important for us, since Paul uses Abraham to show the differences of the law and that which is in Christ, and he shows how righteousness is given. So when Paul says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, let's go back through the steps one more time. God has called him. God has let his daddy die. So his daddy no longer has a patriarchal influence over him anymore. Dad is dead. He's separated from his other family. He still got Lot. He goes into a place where God said, I will show you, and there's famine. The first thing you see, there's famine. Trouble in my way. So he goes down to Egypt, and trouble in my way again. He knows, he anticipates with the wickedness that he knows of the culture of the Hamites. These are the descendants of Ham. Abram is a descendant of Shem, and he goes down here to the Hamites, knowing that they got that wickedness and that ungodliness, and he puts his wife up at risk. No doubt, I can't believe he's not praying and calling to God. He calls and talks to God too much. We'll see that in 13 and 14 today. God establishes him there. Is there anyone that cannot see that God has established Abram in Egypt as a person we don't want to lay our hands on? That he is not the one, because we're being plagued, and it's not this man doing it. It must be, they would probably say, one of the gods. Now he's got substance. Now he's back to where he started from, but tell me he wouldn't have more faith in God now. Tell me he wouldn't be rejoicing now more. Not over the stuff. I know some ignorant, asinine person would be grateful over, some little itty-bitty minded person is looking on the things of this world only. I got more silver. I got more gold. Well, you know what, baby? It was good, man. We go to another place and I can try this again and tell you, you my sister, and maybe God to do it again. We'll get a lot of stuff. No! He's seen what God would do for him when he couldn't do for himself. Is that not a faith builder? So that he comes back stronger. Anytime we make a mistake, anytime we do something walking with the Lord God and we see we didn't make the best step that we should have made and God brings us out in spite of ourselves, we ought to look at God and thank him for it and yet have more wisdom in how to deal with a situation that's similar in the future. And so he went and he went to Bethel and around Ai, and what did he do in verse 4? Or where was he at in number 4?
Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first.
Drew was going to read between Bethel and Hai. I thought she had read it. And she said, unto the place of where he worshipped. That's the altar which he had made there at the first. And he called on the name of the Lord. Do you all see that? That's that, in the English of the King James, that just sounds like he just called on the name of the Lord. It's deeper than that. He called on Yahweh. He called on the name of the Lord, saints. He called on him. And we don't know. Do you think he just called on the name of the Lord and nothing else? Do you think he didn't commune with God? Do you think he didn't thank God for what God had done? Let's really be serious. Do you think all Abram did after all of that, and he coming, Yahweh, Yahweh, or as some people say, Jehovah, and that was it? We don't get the excerpt of what he said. But I submit to you, based on the life and death situation that was there, based on him being able to come out of Egypt, that must have been an awesome time of thanksgiving and praise. Somebody say, Tim, how you just going to stick that in the Bible? I saw how Abraham acted when he came from the war that we're going to talk about in the next chapter. Please read, Dree.
And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents.
Introduction to what Lot had. We've mentioned Lot before. Now, so we're going to kind of shine a little spotlight on Lot, just a wee little bit, so you can kind of get to see what's going on here. So Abraham is calling on the name of the Lord. Lot is with him. And Lot has herds and flocks. Abram got herds and stuff. I don't hear people talking about the blessings of Lot. Let me read on, Dree.
And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together.
Verse number 7.
And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land.
Number 8.
And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren.
In these 3 verses, we don't know how much time has taken place, but in these 3 verses, what we see is Lot had some great substance, Abram had great substance, but Abram was the one that was called. Lot was the one that was seemingly being able to be benefited by Abram. One, Lot's dad was dead, Abram had took him with him, and Abram, if I'm not mistaken, Lot had learned things from Abram, and Lot himself was being, what you would say, financially established. But the herdmen of Abram, now understand this, Abram had enough to have herdmen to work for him, and Lot had herdmen working for him. And the Bible says, you know, I need to say that more often, the Bible says that there was strife between their herdmen, Abram's and Lot's herdmen, and the land was unable to bear them because the substance was so great. Understand this. God has established Abraham in the eyes of the people in Egypt, More than likely, also in the eyes of his wife, God has established Abram in the eyes of his wife, as well as established himself in the eyes of his wife, and in the eyes of Abram's herdmen, because they're like, Abraham is our master. But not only that, God is getting ready to let us see how God establishes him in the midst of financial situations. Because there are times that people have money and they have problems that come on because of their prosperity. In the midst of prosperity, you could be so covetous like Laban. You all don't know about Laban. We'll get there if you don't. That you could do everything in your power to keep somebody down and take what they have. So this strife is here and they have a lot of stuff. Now let's see how Abram feels about his stuff. His strife, his cattle, his riches. It says in verse number 9, and wait a minute, he said, there was strife in the herdmen. Verse number 9 says what?
Is not the whole land before thee?
Abram said, we're brothers. Mama, do you see that? Before he even deal with money, cattle, silver, the land, this is just land. We are brothers. We're brothers. I know I'm the blessed one, but we're brothers. I took you in. Let's don't let it be in this strife. No contentions, no controversies, no fighting. And he says, it's not the whole land before you. What else?
Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.
If Abram was so crazy about his substance, I'm the one that talked to God. God told me to leave and go out. But Abram was of such that even in the midst of what could have been a very bad situation, they could have got to fighting. Abram stepped up to the plate and I'll take less. Is the land before you? Look all over the place, to the left or the right. If you go that way, I'll go this. The Bible shows sometime and it's establishing you and in your faithfulness to God, there may have to be a separation between you and family members. Even if those family members are righteous, there may have to be a separation sometime if they're wicked. We ought to know that. But even Paul and Barnabas separated. Paul didn't want John Mark, but that didn't make Paul wicked. Barnabas didn't want to go without John Mark, and that didn't make Barnabas wicked. Because they separated did not make Lot wicked, but there comes a time when God is dealing and establishing an individual. He may have to separate you from the very people that you love because he's going to work on you. There's something that he's going to do in you. Abraham, I would say, in New Testament terms, had a gift that Lot did not have. What is that gift? You are the promised one. It's going to be the one that my son goes through, not Lot. And so I'm gonna orchestrate and help things be of such, even through prosperity, that there comes a separation. It might have hurt, but it's got to be. Said like some of the old folk used to say, you's the big boy now, and you's got people, and they want to fight with my people. We're not gonna have it. In the words of some of the old people that used to tell me when I was bad, you ain't gonna worry me. So your men are not going to worry me. Separate. I gave the order to separate, but let me show you how it's going to be done. You take the one you want, and I'll take the other. Read on, please.
And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar.
Read that last phrase. I want you to catch something there.
Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt.
Like the land of what?
Egypt.
Where did they come from? whenever God let them come with substance?
Egypt.
What? There's a big river in Egypt that keeps things fertilized. It's called the Nile. So Lot coming from Egypt, having seen what it was like in Egypt, and Abram said, go to the left or the right. Lot looks up and chooses the best for himself. It was well watered. That was very important in those days. We'll see that when we get to dealing with Isaac. It was well watered, Stephanie. And my cattle need to eat. We need to have water. We don't want to have to do all that digging wells. It looks like it'll be, you told me to choose one. I mean, it won't have to work that hard. And it was well watered. How do you know something is well watered? One, you can see the water, or you can see the lusciousness of it. We don't know if Lot already had seen in Sodom before, or the lusciousness, knowing that it wouldn't be that luscious without water, or it could be a combination of that, and Moses writing backwards telling the story. Or, well, you know, Moses telling it, repeating it. But anyway, it was well watered. And it gives us an introduction of two cities called together, Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice this. It lets you know that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed before we even get there. And it says it was well watered like the land of Egypt, a land that had plenty. So Lot chooses plenty, and obviously he leaves Abram with what? Less. Read on, please.
Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan.
All of it, not half. All of it. Good Lord.
And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other.
12.
Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain.
Lot dwells here in the cities of the plain. Don't forget it. It's in the cities of the plain. When we get to Genesis 19, he's going to be in the gate of a city. Read on.
And pitched his tent toward Sodom.
Pitched his tent toward the direction of Sodom. Please read.
But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
And they give this definition of them before we get there. The men of Sodom are wicked. They are exceeding sinners before the Lord. Those are Hamites. Those, again, are some of the descendants of Ham. They are wicked. They are evil. And the Bible says exceeding. You know how people are so wicked and don't know the Bible, and they want to keep running their mouth and talking and saying stuff that they don't know. All sins are equal. But if one is, how can you be an exceeding? Thank you. And it says they were wicked. They introduce us to Sodom. They introduce you to that plain. That area is well watered. There's a lot of prosperity there. And with a lot of prosperity, do you notice that there's a lot of wickedness? I'm not saying they have to go together, but do you see it? Look at America. A lot of prosperity, a lot of wickedness. Notice they came from Egypt. A lot of prosperity, or because I mean, it said it was watered like Egypt. And they were already serving idol gods. A lot of wickedness. Well, that's where Lot is. But what does the Bible say happened with Abram? Because we deal with the journeys of Abraham, and that was a sidebar unto Lot. Please read.
And the Lord said unto Abram.
Wait a minute. That's beautiful. The Lord is going to talk. The Lord has got something he's got to say. They separated, and it seems as if, now the way this is written, it could have been a month later. Could have been the same day. No doubt if you got a lot of substance and cattle, you start leaving in one day, but you don't get it all out to the place where you go in the same day usually. But it says, and the Lord said unto who?
Abram.
When?
After that Lot was separated from him.
I just think it's significant that the Lord got something else. I want to take it to another level. I want to do something else different now that Lot's gone. Me and you, no kinfolk. Read on.
Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward.
I want you to do what Lot did. You let Lot look. And Lot chose him a place. He looked up. He chose. He chose toward the east. God said, I want you to look up and spin all the way around. Look to the east. Look to the west. Look to the south. Look to the north. And what did he say in verse 15?
For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
I don't care what you told Lot. I don't care what Lot chose. I establish you. I don't want Lot to be your heir. I don't want Lot to think he's your heir. I separated you from Lot. Now look to the east, west, north, and south. There are people that's in these lands. But I'm going to give it to you and your seed. And there's not a man alive that can stop you. I establish you with ownership. I establish you as the one that my blessing and my hand is upon. And no matter what kind of strife come between anybody's herdmen, no matter what kind of strife come around from anybody else that feel that they have the right to this property, I will give it to you and your seed. Forever. Well, some people read that and say that the Jews, as we know them today, that's supposed to be their land. But I submit to you, there's some Israelites that were not just what you would call Jews. Some were separated. According to Romans chapter 2, you are Abraham's seed, or you are a Jew if you're one in spirit. And according to the book of Galatians, you are Abraham's seed, and you are the children, you will be what would consider to be a child of Israel if you're walking in the spirit, if you're in Christ. So I don't fully know exactly how that's going to play out. Yes, I know there's some people there now, but I don't believe that the Bible is only giving it to those that come from Abraham's loins, because Jesus had a problem with those kind of people in John chapter 8 that was saying that they were Abraham's seed and they sought to kill him. He said, Abraham didn't do that. If Abraham were your father, you would do as he did, as if he's saying, and he is saying, you're not Abraham's children. And then he also said in Romans chapter 2 that you are the children of God. Are you Abraham's seed, or the circumcision, or a Jew, if it's done in the heart? I submit to you that that was a deep statement. Abraham's children will have that land. The Bible says it. Please read. Oh, and Abraham will too.
And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth.
That's amazing right there. Now you saying by the seashore is a lot. Way more than you can count. But dust? Is there anybody that could go in your house or your car and not see dust? Do you know what you are and what you will return to? I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. Read.
So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered.
And Abraham had to look to the east, north, south, and west. It's like, I'm going to have a lot of children, young and offspring, descendants. You know, that's a magnificent thing to hear. And what people don't really understand, sometimes Abraham is not dead. Oh, yes, he's dead insofar as, you know, he died. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 20, to God all men live. Please read.
Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord.
Abraham gets up and walks, and sees how what God has promised him. I gave Lot this. Told him to go, but God said, you're going to have this land. I said, your seed going to get up and walk. Abraham obeyed, got up and walked. And evidently, you all, the magnificence of it, the length of it, the breadth of it, the height of it was of such that this man, I just got to make another altar. I got to make an altar and I got to deal with God again. Either make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I got to talk to God because of all the stuff that he's doing for me. He has established me above even what Lot had to do. My herdmen know what's going on. He's established me and he's promised me things. Established me in Egypt. Established me when I got back to the land. And has established himself to me as my God. And I will build an altar to him. What will it take for God to establish himself to us? Has he already been trying to establish himself to us and we miss it? Do we miss it in the midst of what we call little things? Do we miss it in the midst of big things? And we think, how I got over. I just had the powers deep in my spirit. To get over. Is that what happens? I've said before, when God chasing some people, the devil get credit. When something good happened to them, I went to school and I applied myself and I made myself be able to get this. It's as if God sometimes can't get credit. And I believe a person that is not grateful or thankful to God, they don't understand when God is making steps to establish you for what's coming next. Now, we just to Genesis chapter 13 here. Can you begin to see why when we in Romans chapter 4, when God makes covenant with Abraham, and it says that Abraham believed God and God counted him to him for righteousness, that I say Abraham had been having much dealing with God. Can't you see that God has already been establishing himself to him through sustenance? So when Lot chose the best, God said, I'm getting, you going to have all of this? When the herdsmen were going to fight, God establishes Abram above that? If you can't see that by the time you get to Romans chapter 4, if you read it without knowing the life of Abram, you might just feel like believing in God, because it said in righteousness was imputed to him, was that he just had a mental belief. But he knows who God is by the time he gets to that chapter. He knows. He's had a king rebuked. He's been promised lands. He's got substance. And when we do the next chapter, you're going to see something else that has happened in his life before he gets there. Journeying in the life of Abraham, God establishes Abraham by faithfulness to him. Had Abraham ever turned his back on him, he could have died in Egypt. People say he couldn't because God promised him. I submit to you, Hebrews says something that we'll see that's a little different in the next chapter. Has God established you yet? Has God really established you in the eyes of people? Is he working on establishing you in the eyes of people? Friends, co-workers, family, enemies. City, state, if God is not establishing you in the eyes of the people, why? If he doesn't change. He established Abraham by his faithfulness. If you're not being established by God in the midst of the people that you know, maybe you're not being the one that's faithful. Maybe it's you. Because God establishes his people. So much so that Jesus was able to tell the disciples, you are the light of the world. You are a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. Let your light shine. Let men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't ever think that means they're going to like you and they're going to love you. Jesus told the same group of men, mine is Judas, the servant is not greater than his master. If they hate me, they'll hate you. Told him in John 16, the time will come, they'll kill you, and they think they're doing God's service. But you'll be established. Being established means something. Is that what you want? Do you want your friendship? Do you still want to be joined to people when God might need to separate you from people, from family sometime, to be established on your own? Because you may need to be the one to help the person in your family. You may be the one that has to help someone in your family. I'll say it again. You may be the one that has to help someone in your family or someone that you know, but if you're not established, what help can you give? Be faithful and true. Let God establish you. Father, thank you for your blessed, sweeted word. I ask you to give us the mindset to understand that you are in the business of establishing yourself and establishing those that will allow you to establish yourself in their life for the good. Because either way, Father, you're going to establish yourself. It can either be for our good or it can be in judgment. We ask that we would be the type of people that will look at what you're doing so you can establish us for the good. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ, amen and amen. With any thoughts or questions that anybody or comments that anybody would like to have on what we just discussed right here,